Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by our very good friend, Matt Lipper, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Matt, it's been a while. How you been?
Good. I'm doing well.
Good. Very good to hear.
And you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking, Matt. I got a couple of things that I want to touch on. I wanted to talk about milk with you. And just dive into that topic. And boy, just saying milk is kind of a broad topic right there. Mm-hmm. But we've seen recent articles of milk prices being, not milk prices, I'm sorry, of us having too much milk, that's part of the issue, or that milk sales have gone down, some of these things. But I have seen national stories about this. I haven't seen a ton local. I have you here. I have a local. I have a farmer. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, of how it's going here in Wisconsin with our milk. And just in general. It's a broad question, I understand, Matt, but it's a broad topic.
Well, when you said that you're hearing that there's a surplus of milk, whenever that's true, then you're going to have weak prices, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have both right now. And it really happened pretty suddenly. The year started out with, last year, let's do that, was an exceptional year. And we have a expectation of, it's not a perfect rhythm, but kind of a three-year cycle, high to low, back to high. Mm. So we are expecting this year to be that poor year. But boy, it hit us real suddenly. It happened since May. We're looking at certainly prices that are less than the great majority of producers can produce it for. Mm-hmm. And it's a little unexpected, so you couldn't hardly plan for it. Why do we have this surplus? I think last year it was 17% of the milk in the country got exported outside of the country. And I know we've talked of this before, that's a growing, increasing number. And so if you go back 25 years ago, it was like 3%. Mm-hmm. So there's some weakness. That's probably the biggest problem, is that our exports aren't doing as well right now. And that's like, well, is China getting along with the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Does China need the milk? They use some milk products, some milk byproducts to feed pigs. Can they buy things from New Zealand or Europe better? And they have been able to. But now that one's changing, because that's related a lot to, we have this depressed price now, so our own struggle is making us more appealing with lower price.
Huh.
But then also the U.S. dollar, the exchange rate, has been one of our worst enemies. It's been really strong pretty consistently. But right now, I guess we hear the Fed is raising interest rates. Well, apparently there's Bank of England, other economies that are being managed are raising interest rates more. And so that means that that makes the dollar a little weaker, because people can get greater returns in other countries. Mm-hmm. So with our depressed price and our weakened dollar exchange rate, it hasn't helped us yet, but it's looking like hopefully demand will build a little bit more. But in general, you could blame Ukraine. I don't know what all you could. The world economy is kind of shaky.
Yeah.
So, they talk about depression, recession, not quite recession, but some of the less affluent purchasers of our milk supplies have been struggling to, they haven't been buying as much. So there's one, is that we have a weakened international demand. And that's probably the biggest one. But you asked for a local effect. And I think you've heard some of this, that fluid milk, which is no longer, most milk we make, especially here in Wisconsin, nearly 85 to 90% of the milk we produce in Wisconsin is made into some type of cheese.
Mm-hmm. Is that what fluid milk is, Matt? Milk that can be turned into other products?
So when we call it fluid, it means it hasn't been, right?
Okay.
So
city boy over here. Sorry,
I'm trying to think how I said it that you generated the question, okay. Right? So obviously, it's all milk,
mm-hmm.
And in Wisconsin, 85% of that milk gets made into cheese.
Okay,
and then there's still a little bit that's got to be made into ice cream and the other mm-hmm. soft products and butter. So in Wisconsin, not much of it goes into, we call it the bottle, but the, whatever you want to call it, fluid mm-hmm. milk. Okay?
Got it. Yeah, I got you.
All right. So that has been struggling across the whole country. And, you know, we have producer-funded advertising campaigns. You remember the milk mustache things?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're well-recognized, but they have not succeeded in convincing people to drink as much milk as they used to. And if you go into the dairy case, as we call it, there's oat milk, almond milk.
All kinds.
There's a lot of alternatives. And so even if they all take a little bit, it competes. Another one I've learned about is Americans are getting older. As a group, the average age is going up. And younger people drink more milk. Older people don't drink as much mm-hmm. milk. So we've got... we've got a bunch of factors there, but another one is that our distribution system, we got kind of near monopolies happening in the bottling of milk.
Hmm.
And in the upper Midwest, this Chicago, Minneapolis territories in between, we actually have had too many, I mean, you don't think about it probably, but there's been too many instances of bare shelves.
Hmm.
That you go to the dairy case and the milk that you want isn't there. And it's because of shortage of bottling capacity. And so you put all those together. People are getting older. People have more alternatives. Maybe we haven't advertised successfully. But then on top of that, that now and then the shelf is bare. Mm. And we've really had a crash in fluid milk.
Mm.
And so then if it's not made into fluid milk, then it... means we need to make more cheese and butter, and we don't export fluid milk, hardly mm-hmm. at all. We export these other products. So the whole collision of all those things is that there's a bit too much milk around.
When it comes to one of the things when this topic comes up is seeing whether it's on the news or reading articles about some farmers having to dump milk. One of the things that I've seen recently is there's at least one farm that I can think of that is refusing to do that, has told their farmers that they are not going to ask them to do that. They're going to figure something else out. I thought it was interesting, but I would have liked to have seen the article go on to what else you can do in this situation. Now, Wisconsin is number two in the nation in milk production. It is a big deal here. It is important here, and I don't like bringing these things up to like freak people out or anything. I want to actually do the exact opposite. I think I read something like, "Oh, farmers are dumping milk," and I don't read the rest of that article. I'm sitting here thinking a panic. We can actually calm a lot of that right now and tell people how things are actually happening and what is actually going on. The sky is not necessarily falling, but I do find it interesting about the some farms dumping, some not, and having to make that call. It seems like one of the tougher decisions to have to make as a farmer. It feels like it's the opposite of what you do as a farmer, and I can't imagine being put in that position.
So, you know, there's only a small percent of farmers that also direct market to consumers. We have some instances here in Wood County. Weber's has in Marshfield has bottled milk that they milk the cows, and you can go to their drive-up window or walk in their store, mm-hmm. and you can get their milk. But the greatest majority of milk, farmers are kind of wholesalers. They sell, and they expect their co-op or their private cheese plant to do that for them. So the decision to dump the milk actually happens at that processing level.
Oh.
The farmer is still getting paid for their milk. Obviously, the more milk you dump, the poorer that they can get. But that loss of dumping milk gets spread out across all the patrons of that business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the problem at that business. Now, why are they so overwhelmed? Some of it is, I think we're going to hear about this as I'm graying and balding and part of this generation that's starting to exit the workforce mm-hmm. a little bit. we're facing real chronic labor shortages. So even if you have the factory or you have the semi to move the milk, there are shortages of workers.
Yeah.
So, so I mean, some of it's, something broke down in the factory, or Memorial Day or Labor Day or 4th of July happened and things back up. But the thing that's more chronic is a shortage of workers, you know, that there's not a driver to get the truck where it needs to be, or there's not someone to help with the vat to make the cheese. Mm-hmm. And so those problems are occurring more so. And our milk goes to a co-op, and if they're not as profitable as they predicted or whatever, then they have a meeting and they tell everyone about their hardships, about why it mm-hmm. is. And one of the things they're pointing to a lot is difficulty of labor, mm-hmm. you know, and certainly that's good for laborers because we see we see wages improving.
Right. Yeah.
But it's tough and it happens on the farm too. A lot of these cows are not getting milked by family members or getting milked by hired labor. So we've talked about robotics a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a huge and you can mechanize, roboticize things in factories as mm-hmm. well. There's just a huge incentive to do that more and more. It's not an anti-labor movement. It's there is no labor.
Right. It's a necessity.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How is the industry trying to approach this and encourage new farmers or families to continue the family farm?
Well, government is one of the actors in protecting the family farm because we hear these statistics in Wisconsin. Oh, we probably lose a farm a day, you know, so 300 to 400 farms a year. If it's a difficult year, as this year is shaping up to be, maybe that number will be higher. and I just had quite a discussion with a producer yesterday, is talking about, so the remaining farms have been keeping on getting bigger and bigger.
Mm.
And so we're not milking, and the remaining cows on those bigger farms are milking more and more per cow.
Mm.
So we're retiring people, we're retiring cows, but we still are increasing production.
Hmm.
So a lot of people are concerned that bigger farms is, you know, there's a lot of nice things about bigger farms. I think people forget about that. But it's different, so there's negatives as well. And people talk about some idealized, because we can't go back.
But, yeah.
Encouraging, maintaining, promoting smaller farms. Farm bill is supposed to be a 2023 farm bill.
Right.
I just read an article that said the 2023 farm bill probably won't be passed in 2023.
I read the same article. I hear you. I it was so frustrating. Yeah. I'm halfway through the article and I'm already frustrated. I hear you.
But, you know, what is a farm bill? Well, it happens every 5 years. And actually, the last few times, it's been almost kind of timely. But it can happen a year late. Mm-hmm. We know we have divided Congress. Farm bill encourages things in agriculture, conservation practices, subsidy. You know, you hear about subsidy. The subsidy is typically currently of insurance. So we're having a drought right now.
Mm-hmm.
So a farmer, one of their tools to survive that would be to have good insurance to mm-hmm. protect them from the drought. Well, mm-hmm. the government puts money into the insurance system so that the insurance doesn't, the premiums aren't entirely covered by what the farmer puts in, that the government subsidizes. So you hear about subsidy. That's actually probably one of the larger areas of subsidy anymore. So you still have to be intelligent enough to buy the insurance, right? So, okay, back to your question. Some programs in the government, there's a very nice program called dairy margin coverage. So right now we got this thing where because of the drought, feed prices look like they might be inching up a little bit. But we have a surplus of milk, so milk prices are decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
That margin between what it costs to feed a cow And what you get for the milk, there's a program that isn't going to make anybody wealthy, but it'll kick in when that margin gets too weak.
Oh, and that's intelligent. That's smart.
Huh. And it's if you're milking 10,000 cows in Texas, it only covers about 200 of those cows. But if you're a smaller farmer in Wisconsin and you milk 50 cows, it'll cover all of your milk. So that is a institutional government thing where we're trying to protect and encourage smaller farms.
You mentioned an important sentence earlier about how we can't go back. But could you see this being where we come around on another side of this within the next couple of years, maybe even the next decade, where we have some of these farms brought back or some new farms come about? We see trends all the time in the workforce, and we have seen this before. It was in the 70s when this happened, but we had a dip in farming in the 50s, 60s. All of a sudden, 70s happened, and there was a rise in it. And that kind of stayed pretty steady for a couple decades, really, there. So it's not far-fetched to think that this could come back around.
I'll give you a non-agricultural example. We've outsourced typically to China, but before China, it was Japan. We've been complaining, and it's Taiwan, and now it's Vietnam. All this outsourcing on our clothing, our electronics, our cars, we outsource that all. Well, then we had the pandemic, and the ports got blocked up because the workers couldn't load and unload the ships. And then it's like, well, we developed and promoted all this exchange with China, but now they're not acting real friendly. And why do we want to have all of our computer chips outsourced to China?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, in this country, there is a huge interest in it, in reversing some of that trend.
Mm-hmm.
More domestic, at least some components.
Yeah.
So it is not. So that trend I talked about happened for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three or four, your or my lifetime, was happening that whole time. So now it's, again, we're not going to go back. We're going to have world trade, but it seems like we're changing it.
Yeah.
And you hear about supply lines and so forth, and not being completely dependent on one source.
Right.
And
right.
So things like that can change. So there, if you took my comment to say we can't go back, you could say dairy farms are going to get ever larger.
I
don't think that's true. But I don't think they're going to be as small as they once were.
Sure, sure. Speaking with Matt Lipper, ag agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Matt, I've got one other thing I wanted to bring up, but I always like asking you, as an actual farmer, as somebody who is in the industry and everything, what are the biggest headlines to you in coming from the industry right now, especially stuff that our local listeners, longtime listeners, they may not know. They may not understand.
We've touched on some of it already. So we as educators, in the summer, farmers are out doing their cropping stuff and people are taking holiday. So we use the summertime. We do some programming, but we do a lot of thinking about, well, what do we need to be talking about next winter when the crops are harvested and so forth. And so the concerns in the dairy industry right now are, what are we going to feed the cows? We haven't really touched on this, but it's dry out there.
Yeah.
And it's probably and in Pittsville, we had half an inch last night, and 4 or 5 days before that, we had about half an inch. But if you go back to the middle of May, that still doesn't hardly get us to an inch and a half to 2 inches now.
Yeah.
So here in Rapids, where it's sandy, if you're not watering things, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavier soils, we survive those things better than most, but the entire cropping system is exhausted right now. And we have lost yield. So hay, there's first crop. We typically maybe cut it four times. And first crop was a little light. Second crop was lighter. Third crop is just starting to grow now, but it's not. So third crop's probably going to be just about non-existent. So feed inventories, how are we going to feed cows? And then what are we going to do about this price? Those are the two things that have farmers alarmed right now.
One of my questions was about feeding farm animals and how this drought is affecting that or the future of that. When it comes to that situation, we're a couple months forward here. What do you do with that situation if we don't get the grains, the foods that we need?
Well, smaller operators like beef people, the simple, if you got 20 cows, the simple, and usually it's not your sole source of income. Mm. The simple answer is, I only have enough feed for 15 cows. Mm. I need to get rid of some cows.
Yeah.
Dairies get a little more difficult because they want to fully utilize. They have more beef cows live out in the pasture and they have the sun in the sky and maybe a windbreak. That's, you know, and the dairy cows live in barns and they cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the farmer can't just say, yep, I'm going to milk 2/3 the same number of cows because the payments on those buildings continue to come in.
Yeah.
So that gets tougher. So, I mean, that's why we're concerned, really, right, is like, what are the solutions to this? So we're hoping the milk price rebounds a little bit. And it happened suddenly. It could correct suddenly. It gave you some glimmers of why it might correct the exchange rate and things like that. And on our heavier soils, we haven't given up on this crop yet. Right. We've admitted some loss, but we still might have a corn crop or we still might have soybeans. And we have insurance programs, which I talked about.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing, and we're talking to people, we call it inventory management. You go out to where you store your feed, and you estimate how many cubic feet of this feed stuff you have, and how many tons that converts, and how much a cow eats, and you figure out, right now today, if I'm short, what do I do? Do I get rid of cows, or do I buy something in to replace it? Is that going to be economical? If everybody in the world is doing that, it won't be economical. So we're working through those right now.
And, you know, this is another one of those situations where we're trying to make the boat on the water. You know, we can't just hit pause or anything. We give us a chance to figure this out or give us a chance for the milk prices to go. We have to, this is life, and we have to adapt and keep moving with it. Nobody knows that better than farmers, arguably. It's just one of those things that it has to pull at your heart, some of it, you know, for us, just non-farmers, I can't imagine in the industry. I did want to wrap up with one thing, Matt, and I've mentioned this before to you, to many of our listeners, that I'm an actor and I'm a professional. And while I'm not working currently right now, I was a little jealous, Matt. I saw you in a commercial looking dang good. I haven't been in a commercial in years. How did you get this gig? Can I get you my agent's information? No. You did a really nice job with that commercial. It was a really fun one. I just wanted to compliment you and your family. That was really nice to see. Thank you, as always, for the time, Matt. But as we're wrapping up, there's going to be follow-up questions. People are going to want to know more maybe about some of the things we've talked about. Is there a way to reach you?
Oh, well, of course there is. So Wood County Extension has a website. And I would say the easiest way is just get on your search engine and go UW Extension Wood County. And our phone numbers, our staff directory are all there. And we have a lot of links to beyond what we have at Wood County, what's at the university as far as resources we're developing to help answer these questions.
That website, extension.wisc.edu, go ahead and go there and you can contact any of the great people over at UW. Again, extension.wisc.edu. Matt, always look forward to the time. Looking forward to hanging out with you again real soon.
Very good.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.